Good morning. We're in a series, and I'm going to kind of try to stay on topic a little bit, even though that today we celebrate Palm Sunday. But we've been talking about returning to our roots, and these are kind of, the next slide is kind of the some of the theme verses that are about Palm Sunday, the day we're celebrating. Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. John chapter 12, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, which means what? Save us. To save. Save us. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Zechariah 9:9 is the fulfillment of the prophet Zechariah, that he said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey. And then Psalms 118, save us. Hosanna. We pray, O Lord, we pray. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And then going to the story itself, let me just read this and then we're going to pray. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say the Lord has need of it. Now, how many know this is theft going on right here? He's stealing. I believe it was divinely set up, and that whoever owned it, you know, maybe God, maybe Jesus did a miracle in their life or whatever, and he said, well, someday someone's going to come to you and say this, and I don't know. I don't know. This is extra biblical, but I just feel like that Jesus had this all set up. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, as they told them. And they were untying the colt. Its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus. They threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowds said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke, which is rabbi, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Amen? And then as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. He wept over it. And if you, even you, he's talking about Jerusalem, only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, and you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Now, in the book of Acts, one of the things that I always, is amazing to me, that it is during the times of feast that there is an increase of the power, the glory, but there's also an increase of the demonic, that the enemy is fighting. And so in Acts chapter 12, we kind of see a picture. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter as well. Now, these were the days of unleavened bread. And so when we talk about the feast, that we talk about the unleavened bread feast, the feast of unleavened bread that is during this week, and then in that week, in the week of the Passover, is the Passover. So, all of that for me now, just go to the next slide and then the next one. Kind of see the picture here. Jesus fulfilled all of the first feast, the spring feast, in his first coming. He fulfilled Passover. He fulfilled the unleavened bread, getting the sin out and then he fulfilled first fruits because he rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. And so, several years ago, some of you have heard me talk about this a lot, that the Lord really drew my heart to kind of go back to the roots and begin to study the book of Acts and see the foundation of the church and the revelation of what Jesus was doing. When in 2011, at the end of that year, we moved to Boise, Idaho. And when we got there, the Lord really had moved on my heart about a book that I had read years prior, but I read it again. It was called Angels on Assignment. It's a crazy book, but have any of you ever heard of the Angels on Assignment? But there was a pastor there that had already died and went on to be with the Lord, but his name was Roland Buck, and Pastor Buck. And his uncle was the one that actually owned Buck Knives, if you've ever heard of a Buck Knife. That was that family. And so when I went there, I reread that book, and the Lord really struck something in my heart, because one of the things in that book is that when he has a revelation of the angel speaking to him, one of the things the angel said was to go back and study the feast so that you can see the revelation of Christ. And in that, he was sharing how that a lot of the church had, the angel is sharing, that the church had lost the foundation of understanding the feast. And because of that, they had a dimmer view and revelation of who Jesus was. Now, that was just like a simple thing the Lord dropped in my heart. I did not know that this was going to mess me up. Mess me up. Because I started studying it, you know, study the feast. I even taught a class, 25 people that came to a class, and we did an introduction, and then the seven feasts, we taught on each one of them in the revelation of Jesus. Then I began to study church history, and I began to study the foundation of the church. I began to study what happened even as, you know, the church became institutionalized by the Catholic Church in 312 A.D., and I began to realize that there was a plan of the enemy to remove the revelation of the feast because it in some ways, it guarded or it caused us to be blind to a lot of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and the fulfillment of that. And it was always this plan that God had unfolded from the very beginning to bring the revelation of Jesus to mankind that was tied up in understanding the feast. Now, what really blew my mind is I began to study this. I began to realize that Jesus, from the time he was born as a little boy, he celebrated the feast. I began to realize that if you study the church history, that even during the early church, and you see this throughout the New Testament, is that the early church celebrated the feast. They celebrated in a whole different way because they knew who the fulfillment of it was. It was Jesus Christ. And so what happened, though, at the in the third century, about 313 A.D., is what we know as the institutionalization of the church, the Catholic Church. And immediately, if you study this, everybody looks back on it as this, like, oh, the church becomes, you know, the official religion of the world, and, you know, emperor gets saved, and all these positive things about it. I'm not going to say there isn't any positive about it, but I will tell you what you, if you study this, you begin to realize that there was so much that was robbed and taken away from the church at that time. Like one thing being the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The revelation of being able to have direct contact with God in his presence. They, of course, the early church, they completely robbed everything of Israel from them immediately. They were not allowed to have any apostolic leaders that were Jewish. They cut off all Jewish ties. They were no longer allowed to celebrate the feast. And what I thought was amazing is, because this is kind of full circle of what Jesus was doing, you weren't allowed to have church in homes anymore because you weren't smart enough, you know, and you weren't holy enough, and you didn't. So you weren't allowed to have churches at home anymore. And all of a sudden, there become this hierarchy of the church that, you know, there was a pope, which they are saying is a descendant from apostle from Peter on. And I'm not here just to bash Catholicism today, but I'm trying to let you see that even when we came out of, as Protestants, came out of Catholicism, that there was so much that we still didn't come out of. And that I really believe that God is trying to restore the revelation of this. When I first started studying this, I became messed up. I didn't know how to function anymore in the church. I didn't know how to function in what, you know, like today's Palm Sunday. But the reality is that Palm Sunday is actually the first day of Passover. That it was during the week of Passover that Jesus was entering the city. That's why there was a packed house, if you would. Because there was people that came from all over the world that were coming to Passover in Jerusalem. And one of the things that, if you don't look at it really closely, you would think that only Israel, people from Israel, or what we often think of as saying the word Jewish, that only those were the ones that celebrated Passover. But how many remember the crazy story in Acts chapter 8 when there was an Ethiopian leader that was coming he was a convert, an African American, an African. he came because of, he was coming to Passover. He was coming to celebrate because he had converted. But in the middle of that, he's reading the Bible. All of a sudden, Philip, you know, is translated and shows up and he starts preaching. You know what you're reading? What you're reading about is Yeshua, is Jesus. And then all of a sudden he gets saved. And when we look at church history, Ethiopia was rocked for Jesus because this guy went back. So this is kind of, you know, I began to see things. I mean, I'm a preacher's kid. My dad was he was very good at Hebrew and very good at Greek. So I grew up in that kind of teaching environment. Went to Bible school for all these years. And at this point, I'd pastored for 20 years. And all of a sudden, everything I knew was being rocked. Because I couldn't, it was like you've seen something and you wish, I wish I didn't see that. Because now everybody's going to think you're weird because you see everything in through the lens of this. So I had to go through kind of a deconstruction, not a deconstruction of my faith, but a deconstruction of what I always held to be the norm or true or part of the orthodox of Christianity. I began to be a little bit unbearable for a little while. And then I the Lord had to, where I was able to recover. See, and let me give you an example so I can, mess up your world. For instance, Passover this year is in April 22nd starts. So because we're not on the same calendar, sometimes we are blessed that Passover hits the same time as Easter, but it often is not. And so, you know, that messed with me at first, you know. So I had to deal with that. A lot of you, do you even know what today is? Anybody know what today is? Purim, yep. And I'm sure Hillbilly pronounced it wrong, but Purim. Today's the day that they celebrate Esther in the work that she did. And so this really began to mess with me. I would read things like before that I'd read 100 times, you know, Jesus saying, no sign shall be given unto you except the sign of Jonah. And then it goes on and says, he stayed in the belly, you know, for 3 days and three nights. And we all say, that's the picture of the resurrection. But then I added it up and I go, oh my goodness, he couldn't have died on Friday then if he raised on Sunday. Because it don't add up. So all these kind of things begin to happen in me. And so, you know, that I'm going like, but this is not right, and that's not right. And then you begin to just get all, you know. And so in that, I began to realize that I was just hurting people because I'd blow all their stuff out of the water, you know, immediately without taking a long time to explain why you're saying this. And I felt like the Lord softened my heart during this season, but then began to let me see things from the perspective that was the foundation of the revelation, because Jesus came out of Israel. He came as the King of Israel, but now we're grafted into that. And so I began to rediscover things about the day of Palm Sunday that we celebrate. It's actually the first day of Passover. So most of you know that they did not use the days, the names of the days like we do. Sunday, which is the first day of the week. We always think of Monday being the first day of the week because that's when we go back to work. But Sunday is the first day of the week. And then the last day of the week is Sabbath, which is Saturday. So that's the week. And that week is the feast of unleavened bread, where they would purge out all the leaven, but it was an example or representative of sin. And then also during that week, they celebrated the Passover, and they celebrated the Passover lamb. So on the first day of Passover, which was Sunday, what we know as Palm Sunday, they would go and purchase their lamb that was going to be sacrificed at the end of the week, or towards the end of the week. And they would go get that lamb, and they would bring livestock inside the house with them. And so the picture was that when Jesus was riding the donkey, that he humbled himself to this point, that he was the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sins of the world. This was the revelation that was given to John the Baptist when he baptized Jesus, when he was walking along the shore of the Galilee River. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon John the Baptist, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." The picture of Palm Sunday is that the Lamb of God had been chosen and was being set apart for what he was going to do, and it was no longer going to be needed a lamb every year to be sacrificed, because Jesus died once for all. He was the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for us. He was chosen for that. And so I've got ahead of myself. A lot of these things I've already talked about. People from all the world came. He had made himself known. Jesus had kind of slipped through the cloud and wouldn't, kind of publicly let himself be made known until this day, because this was the week that he was entering in. We call it the Passion Week, the week of the Passover. But Jesus was entering into this week, so he made himself known. And if you study this out, you find that there was this buzz going around. "Hey, man, did you hear that story about Jesus? The guy who had been dead, there was this guy that had been dead for 4 days. He raised him from the dead. His guy's name was Lazarus. Everybody went to his funeral, and everybody knew he was dead. They seen it. We touched him. He was dead. He was dead. And he now is no longer dead. He's walking around. I talked to him the other day." And so all of a sudden, there's this buzz going on. Does he have the power of even life and death? And so this began to be this buzz, and then the beginning of Passover and everything. And so Jesus is setting this moment up to fulfill prophecy. And he's riding on this donkey. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all of that, there begins to be this worship that is extolling him, exalting him. And so when I look at it, this is the things that I see now. The revelation of Yeshua, the first day of Passover, Palm Sunday. Number one, he is the Passover lamb for all who would believe. That's what we're celebrating. For all those, and I was thinking about this, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Clean out the old leaven. Remember, it's the festival of unleavened bread. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump. How many like to be a new lump? Just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let's celebrate the feast. Celebrate the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth that comes in Jesus Christ. Amen? The second thing that we see is that he came as a humble king. We see the fulfillment of this in Zechariah 9:9, but then Philippians 2, Paul has this revelation. He puts this page to pen, quill to paper, whatever. I don't know, that quill? Yeah. "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Amen? The third thing that we see is Jesus came to save us. How many know you can't get saved until you know you're lost, right? So he came to save us and fulfill Psalms chapter 118, where it says, Hosanna, save us, Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And so that revelation of the needing of the Savior. The fourth thing that we see here is that he promised he's going to come back. Matthew chapter 23, verse 39, for I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So it was said the first time, when I was reading this one time, I caught it. What he was saying here is that this was said about him when he was riding the donkey, entering into the city. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were quoting that, but it's going to be said again when he comes back. And the next time he's not going to be riding on a donkey. He's going to be on a white horse. And there is going to be something that happens in that city that they are going to ask for him to come back. Fifth thing and the final thing is that the act of worship, realizing who he is. There was shouting. This is where we get the pictures of the coats and the palm branches. Jesus said, if they don't worship, if they don't cry out, then the rocks will. So worship was very much it was connected so much to this day that we celebrate. There was worship going on that day. There's going to be worship when he comes back again. But guess what? We get to worship him right now. We get to worship him now. And I was thinking about this in the context of worship. Is Jesus said that he was, I am. You remember how that's what really got him. The religious leaders were going to kill Jesus because he was saying, I am. And the first time that I am was spoken, it was spoken to Moses. And Moses said, well, who are you? What am I going to call? I am that I am. And that is where we get the word Yahweh, God. And I want you to understand, Jesus is God. He's God. I was thinking about this in the context of worship. A great song that somebody wrote years ago. I don't know who it was, but Yahweh, the heavens adore you. Yahweh, the earth bows before you. Yahweh, I join in the song singing, all I am is yours. Deep in my heart is a sanctuary with burning embers ablaze. I'm stirring it up deep within me, this fire of worship and praise. Lord, I'm lifting your name up higher more than ever before. The whole earth will join the celebration, worshiping your name. And each heart will see your great salvation. This sounds like a Palm Sunday song. So none should be ashamed. Lord, I'm lifting your name up higher more than ever before. Jesus, why don't we just say it? Jesus, I live to worship you. Jesus, your love has made me new. Jesus, I join in the song singing, all I am is yours. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Why don't we just worship the Lord? Why don't you just stand with me? We worship you, Jesus, Lamb of God. We worship you. We recognize who you are. You are God. You are Yahweh. You are God. You're not a small God. You're a part of the Godhead, but you are God. You are our connection between man, between us and God. You are the bridge. You are the Passover lamb that has taken away all of our sins. You have come to save us. You have come to deliver us, Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Lord. And Lord, we just worship you today for who you are. For who you are. The revelation of that was the first day of Passover. The people were getting ready with all their lambs, and it was during that week that Jesus died. He became the Passover lamb for us. But of course, that's not the end of the story. A week later from this day, because this is the first day of the week, first day of Passover, a week later from this day, Jesus rose again. And it was the Feast of First Fruits. Now you understand, when it's the Feast of First Fruits, Paul is very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Jesus was the first fruits of many brethren. Why? He went first. He rose from the dead first. He was the first fruit. But the good thing is, we are yet to come. We will follow him, because all of us will be raised from the dead and receive a glorified body because of the work that Jesus did this week. Amen.
Praise him a little bit more. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, we open up our hearts as they opened up the streets. We say, come, reign in our hearts, reign in our lives. Change us, work us to a new place as we worship you, King of kings and Lord of lords. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I feel like on that day that there was not just those who, I mean, even they were coming from everywhere, but there were many, many, many that came who were healed and delivered from demonic powers. There were many that showed up. Maybe the little boy who had been, had the loaves and fishes was standing there and he got it. Maybe there was the Bartimaeus standing there looking. Lord, all of these, every right now in this room, there are people with miracles that you have done in us. And we give you praise today and exalt you for being our Savior and Lord, to see us through in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Todd. Oh my gosh, I want to be messed up like he got messed up. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, let's fellowship together. Let's go over and have a bite to eat and hang out. Amen.